7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Oh, here we go. The Denver Broncos and the great Case Keenum at the quarterback position. It is not Paxton Lynch. It is the great Case Keenum. Tim, Tom, how are we doing?
I'm doing very good, guys. How you doing? I got a small wiener. I'm Tim.
Oh, excellent, Tim. Excellent.
I'm probably going to miss Tim trying to talk up Paxton Lynch a little bit in this episode.
Hey, you know, I could be here. I could be Tim. If I had Paxton Lynch will get every opportunity to be the starter from day one. John Elway loves his quarterbacks with the big arm, and Case Keenum is not the answer.
That's Tim in a nutshell right there when you're trying to talk Denver Bronco football. All the Bronco fans listening right now would probably want to shoot Tim in the face if they could, if Tim was really saying that, which he would be if he was here. So it's probably good that he's not here for this episode, Josh.
I know. I can't wait till he comes back. It's going to be very interesting. I'm going to give him a sack tap. Hopefully it's on air so everybody can listen to it. But we are going to talk about the Denver Broncos here and some of the offseason moves that they have done, some of the stuff they have done in the draft, their fantasy outlook, and where we think this team is going to go in the year of 2018. First, the offseason move, Tom. Here we go. Case Keenum signs with the Denver Broncos for a 2-year deal. What are your thoughts on Case Keenum here coming here to be the guy to the Denver Broncos, leaving the Vikings, which was not a very talented team, had some guys, but not super talented, but coming here to the Broncos, where it's kind of in question on what they have as well. They have a Demaryius Thomas. They have a Emmanuel Sanders. But that was pretty much all that they had before the draft.
For the Broncos, I think most fans probably wanted Kirk Cousins. He was probably 1A for them. But 1B in the quarterback market was Case Keenum in my eyes.
Oh, I agree.
We saw him last year. The potential that he really has and that he is a starting NFL quarterback. And that if you put him in the right position, build that offense around him, put him in situations where he could handle, unlike what pretty much every other football team has done to him, like the Rams with the Texans, that Case Keenum's a starting quarterback. They're paying him like a mid-tier starting quarterback. That's probably what he is. But I like the weapons that they have. Like you said, it's kind of like it's almost the same situation what they had in Minnesota with the two good receivers, okay offensive line. And I think that run game's going to be improved. Got a good defense. Case Keenum, it was a good signing for them. This is something they needed to do. We are not believers in Paxton Lynch. I'm a bigger believer in Chad Kelly.
Same here.
He's got more potential.
Better in Madden too.
Yeah. So. Oh yeah. Chad Kelly's like my go-to guy.
I had this guy whoop my ass with the Broncos. So I played as the Broncos one time, and I started Osweiler and then a couple other whoever else. And I got destroyed. I played this guy, and he was the Broncos. I'm like, oh, yes. Easy. I'm like, Broncos are the worst team. Puts in Chad Kelly. Whooped me. Left and right, up and down. It was embarrassing. But to your point, Tom, I think if we see Case Keenum falter, I think it's going to be the Chad Kelly show and not the Paxton Lynch show.
I hope so. I think, in all honesty, if I had to put money, I think Paxton would probably get opportunity to.
Yeah.
Since he was a first round pick in 2016. We've kind of seen what he is though. And we saw in college that he came from a spread system, which some people think's a big time negative. That's what the NFL is kind of moving to. But he had his reads in college extremely simple. Hasn't really seen the growth that we wanted to see from him, and that's why the Broncos went out and got Keenum. He's kind of been labeled as a guy that would rather be playing Call of Duty than being in his playbook. And to be an NFL quarterback, you can't be that way.
Yeah.
You need to eat, breathe, sleep, eat football. And if he's in year three and he's not in his playbook, doesn't know the offense yet, something's wrong.
Agreed. Another signing that they have here, corner Tremaine Brock, 1-year deal. This also comes on the heels of the trade of Aqib Talib for a 5th-round pick that they got in return.
Brock, he'll probably be a backup. He'll probably be behind Roby and Chris Harris, but a good depth piece, a guy when they're in dime or nickel, possibly find his way on the field, comes from a good defense, and Denver has a good defense as well. It's definitely not going to be their 1 or 2, though.
Sue Cravens, we had him trade as well. They ended up trading away a 5th-round pick, and then Jared Valdir, they traded away a 6th-round pick, offensive tackle.
So he'll be interesting. When he came out of college, he was kind of labeled as a tweener. Some people were calling him the next Troy Polamalu since he came out of USC. Plays a little safety, could probably play a little nickel as well, maybe a little linebacker when they want to get smaller and get more DBs on the field. He's a guy, a versatile, kind of like a just a little chess piece that you could use all over the field, similar to like a Honey Badger, not as good of an athlete. But I like that signing, and really, well, not the trade, didn't really have to give too much up for him. They really liked him in the draft. They didn't. The Redskins obviously got him. Didn't work out there, so hopefully he can find a spot there. And then Jared Valdir, he wasn't very good at Arizona. They had one of the worst offensive lines in football last year. But it's better than what they had before, in all honesty. They drafted Bowles last year, signed Ronald Leary. They need to improve that offensive line. I don't think they did enough, but hopefully he can kind of just be that stopgap until they can get a younger player in there or a free agent signing.
The Broncos also traded away their former starting quarterback, which we called, right, on this show 2 years ago, or maybe it was, no, 2 years ago, that Trevor Siemian would have been, or ended up being, the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. We called it here first. Nobody knew who Trevor Siemian was. Everybody was calling him Seaman, but his name is Siemian. They got a 5th-round pick for him in 2019.
The way the year started last year, he looked like he developed, that he was growing, and that he was going to be the future of the Broncos, but it kind of went downhill. Them getting a 5th-round pick for him, good value for them, and Case Keenum's definitely a big-time upgrade in my eyes.
Todd Davis, 3-year deal here, inside linebacker. They also got offensive lineman Billy Turner and defensive tackle Clinton McDonald.
Davis, more of a thumper, kind of struggles in coverage, but he will help that run game out a lot. Other guys, whatever.
Moving on, some of the guys that are leaving the team, we already said Aqib Talib, Trevor Siemian, that 7th-round pick in 2018 that just happened. That one was gone for the Siemian trade. Corey Nelson, inside linebacker. Virgil Green, their tight end of last year, he's gone. Donald Stevenson, Cody Latimer went to the Giants. We talked about that, the Giants episode. Osweiler to the Dolphins. And then a couple picks as well.
C.J. Anderson left as well.
C.J. Anderson, they cut C.J. Just recently, a couple days ago. Not a couple days ago, right? A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was before the draft, right?
Yeah, and then C.J. Anderson just signed with the Carolina Panthers, of course.
Yeah. Anderson, he's been somewhat productive with Denver.
1,000-yard rusher last year. 1,000-yard guy.
He's been kind of consistent, has battled some weight issues, kind of battled some injuries. It just seems like he wore out his welcome there in Denver, and they were willing to move on, draft a guy, and possibly give Booker a chance as well to get some playing time.
Oh, give Booker a chance, you say? I digress. I disagree.
To keep your boy until we start covering the draft a little more, Josh.
So, interesting offseason for the Denver Broncos. They get their quote-unquote quarterback of now, right?
Yeah.
And had a great season last year in Case Keenum. Very interesting. And that all just leads up to what, Tom? The 2018 NFL Draft.
A lot of picks.
And with their first pick, Tom, pick number 5 overall, who do they go with?
They went with Bradley Chubb. You know, the Broncos, they're in a similar situation as the Giants were. They had that chance to either trade out, draft a quarterback, or follow their draft board and draft the best player available. They drafted the best player available in Bradley Chubb. And the Broncos, when they've been dominant, they've had edge rushers that can get after the quarterback, put tons of pressure on them, and just be game wreckers. And that's what Bradley Chubb is. You put him with, Von Miller.
Yep.
You got Shane Ray. You got Derek Wolfe. You got guys that can get after the quarterback. Chubb is, he's kind of that do-it-all rusher. Probably play a little bit of D-end in their 3-4 scheme or outside backer, able to move inside, outside, and I think he's going to be able to do it all for them. Technically sound rusher, understands the game. He was one of those cerebral edge rushers who sets tackles up, goes outside, can go inside, spin move, great hand fighter. I think out of any edge rusher in this class, he's got the best chance to be instantly dominant, instantly able to get a 10-sack season for him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you have one of the best players in this draft coming off the board here at pick number 5, and it's very interesting because not many people saw this happening. Oh, wait.
Oh, God.
Oh, this here guy. We go again. This guy did. Yes, I was the one that predicted Denzel Ward going pick number 4 in my mock draft. If you guys forgot, I'm going to reiterate it. Yes, Denzel Ward went 4 in my mock draft, and Bradley Chubb here 5. But yes, pairing him with Von Miller, man, that is a sick duo. It's just going to be very interesting to see how they mesh together,
yeah.
Right? So it's going to be interesting. Can he cover as well if he needs to? That's going to be a big question.
They better not ask him to do that too often. He did it a little bit at NC State, but
yeah,
that's not what he is dominant at, and they should just put him in a good situation, get after the passer, go inside on rushing downs, and just be a solid edge defender.
Pick number 40 overall, Cortland Sutton, wide receiver out of SMU. Big dude,
yep.
6'4", 220 pounds, monster of a wide receiver, pretty fast as well. Kind of interesting to add this big of a wide receiver with Demaryius Thomas still on the team, plus Emmanuel Sanders.
At Cortland Sutton, he was 38 on my big board, went 40, so right there. Feel good about that. And the Broncos, you brought up Demaryius Thomas. Look, the last 3 years, his numbers have gone down. This is the replacement to Demaryius Thomas. The writing is on the wall. They got their future on the outside. You know, we saw Lattimore, Benny Fowler both leaving free agency. So they needed to bring an immediate impact rookie in, and that's what Sutton is. 6'4", 220, ran in the mid-4.5s. That's good for a guy of that size. Pretty damn productive at SMU as well. There might be a little bit of a learning curve. Wasn't asked to run all the routes. Didn't have a huge route tree at SMU. And kind of beat up on a lot of lesser competition at SMU. But very good value for them right there. A lot of people had him going in the first round.
Yeah.
I had him in the first round of my mock draft, thought that he was worth that selection. But he's got guys to learn from. It should be a wide receiver-friendly system. We've seen what Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders have been able to put up. There won't be too much on his plate at once. So he should take it slow with him. And I think the sky's the ceiling for this kid in Denver.
Pick number 71, the big Rolls-Royce Freeman, running back out of Oregon, which is now the leading rusher for Oregon history, yep, for running backs. And it's funny, a lot of people, they don't look at Royce Freeman and think athletic freak, which is, you know, it's understandable. He's gotten slower a little bit as the time has been going, yep, on. Been running quite a bit, carrying the ball quite a bit. But you know what? This guy is he's a playmaker. He's Mr. Consistent. I don't want to say he's another C.J. Anderson because C.J. Anderson was kind of that, you know what, he's going to get 1,000 yards and whatever. I think he's very good. Plus, in college, he caught 81 out of 89 passes. That is a stat I am going to keep pounding on because, yep, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And I know Booker is there. I know Henderson is there. I just think Royce Freeman is too good of a running back not to be your starting guy. He's 5'11 and a half, 225 pounds, ran his 40-yard dash in a 4.54. Not the best speed, but it's pretty good for a running back.
Good.
That's all I got on him. That's a lot of talking. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Freeman, he was extremely reliable, very productive, very durable.
Best broad jump for a running back as well, 9 feet 10 inches.
Which is good. You like that explosion from your running backs. And your stat you brought up with his receiving ability, that's another big-time plus right there. You want, especially in fantasy football, you want running backs who are reliable receiving the football, guys who have that potential to be a three-down workhorse running back. There just aren't too many of them in the NFL right now, and Freeman has that ability. Look, I'm on my big board. I am at 115.
Oh, 115? So, that is a slap in the face!
Like,
oh, my Lord!
So, technically, I shouldn't like this pick, so I'm kind of, like, torn. Because he doesn't do anything great.
He also had the best three-cone drill at the Combine,
which
too.
Which is kind of shocking.
Yeah, very shocking.
I don't know how that's possible. But getting, I think I just projected him more of as a fourth-round pick. So I think it was a little bit of a reach, but in a weird way, I absolutely love this pick. So it's just a perfect, it's one of the best landing spots for this kid. He's got immediate potential to be a fantasy relevant running back, and he's got that kind of that Kareem Hunt like feel to him, where he could be that mid-round running back who comes out and has a chance to lead the league in rushing.
Do you know how many collegiate touchdowns Mr. Royce Freeman had?
Probably like 70.
Rushing, sorry.
We'll go with 52.
60 rushing touchdowns in his career. Pretty interesting. I think Royce Freeman is an awesome pick, and I think he might shock some people, and I think he's going to give Mr. Saquon Barkley a run for his money on an offensive rookie of the year.
There's definitely a good possibility. He's got every opportunity in the world to win that running back job in Denver.
Moving on, pick number 99, Isaac, how do you say that? Yiadom. Cornerback, Boston College. what do you think about this pick here?
You know, you kind of got to look at the full picture of the Broncos draft. They were kind of, seemed like they were drafting to replace some of the guys that they lost, and that's what they did with this pick. They got a chance to coach him at the Senior Bowl. That's where they, a lot of their draft picks, they were able to coach them at the Senior Bowl. He fits their mold, compares to Aqib Talib, thrives in that press man coverage, and that's what the Broncos absolutely love to run. Very good special teams player as well, so he will be on the field very often and all the time in the special teams department. I don't think he's going to be starting right away. They got two good corners in Roby and Harris, but he's got that potential, and he's got everything that the Broncos look for in the cornerback spot.
Yeah, I think he could be a starter from day one for the Broncos. Yeah. We could see
Harris is kind of smaller.
We could see
Cam
come, and we could see Isaac here become the starter, taller guy.
Yep.
Like you said, press coverage. I think we could see that happen. Pick number 106, Mr. Joel, linebacker, Iowa. Very interesting pick here. I like him. They needed an upgrade at linebacker. Last year, they were talking about taking Hassan Reddick, missed out on him, missed out on some of the other top linebacker prospects. They get a linebacker prospect here, not the highly touted one, but a very good prospect.
And the last pick, I had him at 105. He went 99, and with Josie, had him at 108, went 106. But like most Iowa kids, they come in, they're ready, they're very well coached, very disciplined, know the game of football. He tested really bad. He's going to be one of those two-down linebackers in my eyes, 4'8", 40. He relies a lot on his instincts and projects as a Mike linebacker, kind of be limited in all honesty. But he was a three-time captain. That's something a lot of teams look for, and it's going to help rebuild the locker room for the Denver Broncos. This kid's a workaholic, and I believe he had three straight years, 120 tackles, something that's very impressive. If you're a Broncos fan, do not watch the Penn State game, though. Saquon made him look very bad, and that's why he's projected to be a two-down, early-down type linebacker and not be asked to be in coverage too often.
Speaking of Penn State, we have wide receiver Deshaun Hamilton coming off the board at pick number 113. Kind of interesting, going with two wide receivers in this draft. You have Emmanuel Sanders.
Yep.
Demaryius Thomas. Now you draft Courtland Sutton. That kind of looks like Demaryius Thomas. Deshaun Hamilton, kind of looks like Emmanuel Sanders. What is going on here taking two wide receivers in this draft?
This was my absolute favorite pick for the Denver Broncos. He was player 73 on my board. Got him 113. Very good value. He's another one of those Senior Bowl players that the Broncos got a chance to get to learn their practice habits, and they fell in love with him. His college numbers really aren't eye-popping, but you hit the nail on the head. He is the replacement to Emmanuel Sanders. He's got a chance to do a lot of work in the slot. Very good route runner. He wins a lot with his technique, his stems, and just really sets corners up in that department. I think it just makes just total sense. Cortland Sutton, Demaryius Thomas replacement. Deshaun Hamilton, Emmanuel Sanders replacement. Save a bunch of money. Got two rookie wide receivers on rookie deals. And I would not be shocked if Sanders and Thomas are gone next season.
Pick number 156, Troy Fumagalli, tight end out of Wisconsin. I like Fumagalli, but honestly, they have two tight ends. Yeah. Or they have two tight ends on this team. Jeff Huerman and Mr. Jake Budd out of Michigan. And like we've talked right before this episode, we think that Jake Budd is going to get every chance to be the starter on this team. I thought it was a steal for the Denver Broncos last year when they got him because he was coming off of an injury. So taking Fumagalli, it could be that complement to Jake Budd, which will be very interesting. We might see the Denver Broncos roll out a two tight ends system, kind of like how the Patriots used to roll, because Fumagalli is a pretty good catcher as well. Not the best, but pretty decent.
Yeah, they're going to be running a lot of smash mouth offense. They got a fullback. A lot of teams in the NFL don't have a fullback. And the Broncos, when's the last time they really had a good tight end? Probably when Julius Thomas, Orange Julius, was there lighting the league on fire. I don't see Fumagalli starting right away, maybe in the two tight end sets. He's a good kid, though. Former captain at Wisconsin as well. Very willing blocker. He's got reliable hands. Not the greatest athlete in the world. Doesn't really win that way, but he wins with his technique. He wins with his grit. Pretty solid route runner. It'll be interesting getting him in the fifth round. Obviously, Jake Buck being drafted in the third round, he should get every chance to play. But Fumagalli, just he's a good kid. And we saw them stick with this theme, getting former captains, getting guys who are good locker room guys, and he's going to make this team. And that's something you want, especially getting a fifth-round player like that who's going to make your team and probably get some playing time as well.
You take Mr. Royce Freeman early. You need an offensive lineman. 183 Sam Jones, guard out of Arizona State. Mr. Sam Jones did not allow a single sack in 2017.
Very interesting. He was 194 on my board at the low end of it. Kind of played a little bit of guard at ASU, played a lot of tackle as well, so he's going to bring that versatility. That's something you want out of offensive linemen. So either put him at a swing tackle spot or be that guy in the interior that can move around his lot. Possibly be a potential center as well. A lot of scouts are saying that they see him, his best fit being at center. He should have stayed in school, though. There's a lot of people saying that if he stayed in school, he probably would have went earlier than this. But you have to love the fact, zero sacks.
Exactly. Next guy, we have pick number 217 and 226, Kayshon Barrera. And David Williams, running back out of Arkansas.
And Kayshon kind of in that same mold as Josie. Relies on his instincts, not the greatest greatest athlete in the world, limited physically. But he was a leader for the Huskies, a captain. And I see that they are trying to change the culture of this team. And that's what that pick's about. Probably be a special teams player if he wants to make this roster. And Williams, big body running back. I think they got three guys on that team that are over 220 pounds as a running back. They like their running backs to be a little thicker, to be able to hold up to the wear and tear that these guys have in the NFL. Don't see him making the team, though, with Booker, Freeman, and Henderson's kind of that scat back, change of pace guy. He'll really have to show something in camp.
Yeah, he's got to be something special, I think, to make this team, I think, with Booker already there, knowing the offense, kind of like you said. I don't think we're going to see Mr. David Williams do much. But that's just me.
Could be a special teams guy, but
could be. All right, man. Let's give this a grade. Not just the draft, not just the off-season acquisitions, but everything as a whole. If it was Tim, he'd probably say either an A or an F because he hates Case Keenum. So luckily we're here so we can give a totally unbiased opinion. What do you think?
I'm going to give him a B+. I like what they did. They followed their board. They got one of the better non-quarterbacks in this draft class, Bradley Chubb. Helped that defense out a lot. Got two potential wide receivers of the future. Got a starting running back. And they didn't go overly aggressive in free agency, but they got a capable starting quarterback. And I like where this team's headed. I think they got a legitimate chance to be contending in the AFC West next year. I think every other team in the AFC West kind of took a step back, and I think they took a step forward, and they're moving in the right direction. I did not see John Elway having a draft like this. Kind of grown to hate most of his drafts, but I really like this one.
Yeah, I think it's a very good offseason in general with the offseason acquisitions, some of the people that they let go, trading away Aqib Talib, getting some capital back for that, trading Trevor Siemian away, getting rid of Brock Osweiler, getting picks back, trading picks out. I mean, very interesting offseason for John Elway and the Broncos. Plus, I think they got a steal with the running back. Obviously, I've said that before, but getting Case Keenum, it was pretty much the second prize possession in the offseason quarterback battle. So getting him was especially important because you needed a quarterback. You could have drafted a quarterback, but the quarterback that you'd be looking at right now, and tell me if I'm wrong, would you rather have a combination of Bradley Chubb and Case Keenum, or would you rather have a combination of Josh Rosen and maybe somebody from free agency? It's tough to say.
Oh, yeah, because most likely there's a good chance they still would have taken Sutton in the second round, so they might not even have addressed that edge rusher spot. I believe their number one quarterback are – I think they like Darnold and Baker. So, obviously, their top two quarterbacks were gone. The pick was simple. I wouldn't have minded to see Josh Rosen there. He was quarterback two for me. I think kind of fits what the Broncos like to do. But getting Chubb and Case Keenum right there, it's a winning mold right there.
Yeah, very interesting offseason. I will give them a B+ as well. I like what they did. They added a lot of pieces. The only other thing I wish that they did was maybe added one more offensive lineman in the offseason. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Moving on, Tom, we're talking fantasy. Yes, fantasy football, everybody. Sorry we had to talk about the 60 quarterback or the 60 picks that they had. But moving on, Case Keenum last year finished as QB 14. And, yes, he did play almost all year besides game one. He did not play. Game two, I believe he came in for relief. And then after that, it was the Case Keenum show from there on out. And again, you guys got to remember that Case Keenum was playing for his life every single week because every single week they said, Teddy Bridgewater could be ready. Sam Bradford could come back. Maybe we'll sign somebody off the street. So it was very interesting to see Case Keenum have the season he had, and he still finished almost as a QB1 option. Tom, going to the Denver Broncos here and the options and the wide receivers that they have there, is he a QB1 for you?
He is not a QB1 for me. You know, he did put up those numbers last year where a lot of people were starting him on a weekly basis. I don't know if he's going to live up to expectations. I think he's got a chance. The weapons are kind of similar. I think they're going to have a good run game in Denver. They're going to have a good defense. But I think they're going to rely on that run game a little more in Denver than they did in Minnesota. So he would not be in my top 12. The quarterback position right now is just too stacked. And you got possible quarterbacks coming back. And you got to add in a full season of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Possible full season from Andrew Luck. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the league right now. So I could not start him on a weekly basis. Unless it's super flex league, yeah, you're going to be drafting him.
Makes sense. I totally understand. In a 12-team league, the only way that you're going to be starting Case Keenum is if there's some jerk that takes, like, Aaron Rodgers early and ends up taking, like, Phillip Rivers in, like, the 7th or 8th round just to be an asshole. Or they're going to take, like, a Phillip Rivers and a Philip Rivers and, let's just say, Matthew Stafford, like, back-to-back, just because they don't know and they're going to play him, you know, week-to-week. So maybe you're going to get stuck where you might have to do that. And honestly, I wouldn't feel the most comfortable with it, but I would feel okay if I had to do it. But obviously, I would not be taking him as my QB1 if I had to had my option. Moving on to running back, Tom, we have Devontae Booker as the lead running back from last year coming back. He finished as running back 53. Again, C.J. Anderson is gone. He finished with 1,000 yards rushing. I do not know exactly where he finished on the season. I'll look in a minute. But they also have D'Angelo Henderson, and they have newly drafted running back Mr. Royce Freeman.
I think Freeman's going to be the guy that gets every chance to be the lead dog. I think he's going to roll with it and become the bell cow in this system. Booker, we've seen what he is. I liked him coming out of Utah. I liked his versatility, liked his running style. He's been hampered with injuries, really hasn't been able to produce when been given the chance. They tried to use him last year, tried to give him the football, and C.J. Anderson kept taking the job back. This is Royce Freeman's job, and if he comes out and is as consistent as he was at Oregon and shows his ability to be a three-down running back, he's got every potential in the world to be a running back one, in all honesty. It might be a little lofty expectations, but there's not many running backs in the league right now who are three-down workhorse running backs, and Royce Freeman has that capability.
Yeah, it's very possible because you look at C.J. Anderson. I did find out where he finished the season last year. Finished running back 18 last year. So it's not out of the realm of possibility for this kid. If they feed him the ball like a starting running back, and don't feed into the Devontae Booker hype, we could see, theoretically, Freeman break into that 15 to 12 range.
He's going to be drafted on draft day as a top 20 running back. So you're going to have to draft him probably fifth or sixth round, but he's going to be worth that. And Josh, you're probably going to be a guy drafting him in the fourth round to make sure that
we'll see,
you get him.
We'll see.
But if you get him as your running back too, I feel comfortable with that. Yeah, a lot of things can happen from now until the start of the NFL season. But if he is in the preseason and week one, they're saying that he's going to be the starting running back for the Denver Broncos, you got to draft him as a middle running back two right now. And I feel pretty comfortable with him. And a lot of running back twos you don't feel comfortable with. Yeah, he is a rookie, but how often do we see rookies come out and are just go balls to the wall and are excellent?
It happens, man. Yep. I mean, look at last year, CMC, Dalvin Cook had a great start to the year. You had Leonard Fournette. This year, you have so many. Kareem Hunt last year. Yep. Drawing a blank on the other idiot.
Even Joe Mixon had close to 1,000 yards, and he was splitting carries.
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
I mean, these rookie running backs are a special talent, and it is very interesting to see, like, and you look at Royce Freeman, a lot of people, and myself included, I compare Royce Freeman a lot to Jordan Howard, except that he's a much better receiver out of the backfield because Jordan Howard's an idiot and can't catch a football.
Yep.
But I think he's just as talented as a runner, better receiver, drafted two rounds higher than Jordan Howard, rightfully so. I think he could be better than Jordan Howard. Remember when Jordan Howard was drafted? He was the second leading rusher in the NFL.
Yep.
We'll see. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and you brought up the receiving. Freeman has a good chance to catch 30 to 40 footballs next year.
Moving on to the wide receivers, Tom. Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. Those are the top two options. Demaryius Thomas, a top 16 wide receiver last year. Emmanuel Sanders, a top 60. Is the price tag for Demaryius Thomas going to be too much for you to draft him as a top-tier wide receiver with the additions of Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton?
For me, I would much rather own Emmanuel Sanders this year than Demaryius Thomas. Sanders, he's a similar receiver to kind of how Adam Thielen was last year. Good route runner, can be moved around a lot, does a lot of damage in the slot, more of the quicker, faster type guy. And we've seen how Case Keenum likes receivers like that. And with Thomas, his price tag's a little high. We've seen his numbers just continually go down and down. And I think Sutton's going to be given a lot of opportunities to thrive in that role. Demaryius, he is going to see the field, but I'm not drafting Demaryius Thomas in the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah, I would rather go ahead, just kind of like you said, and go with an Emmanuel Sanders, where you're going to get him probably in the, the eighth round, maybe even later than that.
In a lot of rankings, he's probably wide receiver between like 30 and 40, and I think that's good value.
Yeah, I'm looking right now on ESPN. They just did a mock draft on here. I'm looking for when Emmanuel Sanders went. I don't see him yet, and it's the eighth round. So
he's going late.
Yeah, so he's going after Robbie Anderson. Again, a guy that we just talked about the last episode, going after DeSean Jackson, going after Mohamed Sanu, going after Sterling Shepard. It's very interesting. Kind of shocked.
Look at Schefter's draft. Absolutely terrible. Stick to reporting, bro.
Oh, man. All right, man. Let's go ahead and move on to the tight ends. We have Jake Butt. We got Huerman. And we have the newly drafted tight end that they have. What do we think that they're going to do here?
I think Butt's going to get the chance to be the guy there. I liked what he was able to do in college for the Wolverines. Good receiver, good goal line guy, good red zone threat. Hopefully he can return from the injury. I think he'll have the most fantasy value, though. But I don't think there's any of these guys worth being drafted right now.
I agree with you, except for maybe I would throw a dart at Jake Butt. I've done it before with tight ends where I kind of take that stab and I'm like hoping for the best. But I think Jake Butt has that possibility this year, coming off of a redshirt year, coming off that injury. There is a strong possibility that we could see Jake Butt become a top 12 tight end this year, because you look at it, we've talked about it before, you've said it yourself, there are the top four guys and then a bunch of question marks.
Yep.
How many times have we had that before? Many. Jack Doyle. Yep. We've had Kobe Fleener before. There are so many question marks. We could see Jake Butt being a top 12. Now, if you're saying that I'm going to draft him as a top 12,
no,
probably not. But I might take him as a tight end, too. I usually like to carry two tight ends, regardless if I have a Zach Ertz or somebody. That's just the way I draft. But that may be an option that I go. And I lied to you. Emmanuel Sanders was taken in the sixth.
Okay. So that's still kind of early.
It is kind of early. So, taken by our boy Cockcroft. So, where do we see the Denver Broncos end up on this year? We got a couple more minutes to talk.
They're going to be my favorite to win the AFC West.
Oh, with the great Case Keenum at the helm and the Rolls Royce Freeman driving on down the field.
I think it's going to be between them and the Chargers. I like the Chargers a lot, but I feel like every year they just let us down. That Chargers team's very scary, but I like the defense, the attitude. I think this team is changing, getting back to their roots, and they're playing that smash mouth football that has won them many games over the years. I'm really hoping Case Keenum can play like he did last year.
You know what I like? I like their schedule right here. They have the Seahawks. I have that as a win. The Raiders, I think that's a win. The Ravens, I think that's a win. The Chiefs, I think that is a win with Mr. Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. The Jets, that's a win. The Jets are awful. Rams, they'll lose. Cardinals, I think they will win, and I think that will be the turning point where Josh Rosen becomes the starter after that week. The Chiefs, I don't think they will beat them twice, so especially in Arrowhead, I think they lose. The Texans, I think they lose. The Chargers, this game right here is going to be a very interesting game. I think they win this game, the first of the two matchups, and I think it sets them up for the season, man. I think it's going to be a very interesting season for them. I could see them winning 9 games, maybe 10. So very interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really like the schedule. And you got to look at the teams that are in their division, the Chiefs, the Raiders, iffy offensive lines. And what do the Broncos do well? They're going to get after the quarterback, a lot of pressure. And it's just game-changing talent they have on the defensive side of the football. I don't think they're going to miss Tlaib that much. He was good. He was making game-changing plays last year, but he was a headache. He was bad for that locker room, and they're changing. They're on to a new leaf right now, and they're heading in the right direction.
Very interesting offseason again for one John Elway and the Denver Broncos, and it's going to be very interesting to see where this team goes in this season. We guys kind of gave you our predictions and where we think we're going to go or where they're going to go. Fantasy is right around the corner. Start doing your homework again on these guys. It's very, very interesting to see where these wide receivers end up in drafts again. I'd rather go with the Emmanuel Sanders route, like you said, Tom. Take your advice on that one. Again, take my advice on Royce Freeman. If you can get him, you're going to probably have to take him in the fourth or fifth round. But I think it's going to probably the fifth round, most likely, right?
Where do you go in the ESPN one? I bet he was fourth.
I think I X'd out of it, but okay. Let me go back. You think he was fourth?
I believe he was.
And this one, where you at? Sorry, dead air.
Fifth round? Yeah, I think he was rookie running back.
Yep, there he is.
Six or seven.
Running back number 23 overall.
So I'd feel completely comfortable giving him right there.
Yeah,
in that
I agree
spot.
With that.
Even at the end of the fourth round, I feel pretty good about. And he should not be the sixth or seventh rookie running back off the board.
I agree, man. All right, anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode again without Tim. It was very good for us. And as always, you guys can follow us on Twitter at PonyKegSports, at Pony_Keg_Tom, and at FightTalkTim. Email us PonyKegSports@gmail.com. And until next time.